here's the deal. I just believe, like, wholeheartedly that it really is about time that many of us have been in cycles in our life where we have progressed to a certain point and then we kind of plateau. You wonder, is there more than this? And the answer is yes. Yes, there is. There is more than what you've experienced. He's bigger than you've known. He's better than you've known. You know, we have full permission to brag on his goodness because he's way better than we think. Truly, he's way better than we think. And so this morning, we're going to talk about is bringing increase to what you have, but for those who have not, those who haven't maybe necessarily received breakthrough in areas of your life, that we're going to lay out so clear, you know, the five ways. Just, there's a pattern that Jesus set up for us to bring breakthrough into our lives. Okay, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Matthew 13. My plan at this moment in time is to read this chunk of scripture and then maybe do a little bit of explaining, and then I'm hoping just to jump into some ministry. And I would like for us as a corporate family this morning to be the ministry team. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're visiting, don't worry. You're in, okay? Do not be afraid. This is going to be fun. Would you just look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be fun? I do need to say something real quick before we completely jump into this mode of ministry, but is that often the Lord will offend our minds. He will speak, he'll say something that is offensive to our own mindset. And what it does is it reveals where you're really at in your heart. For instance, if I said something this morning that bothered you or that you disagreed with or whatever, which is fine, it happens all the time. By the way, we don't come together because we all agree. We tried that last couple hundred years of church history. It doesn't work. You know, because then when we disagree, we go ahead and we break into fractions and you go form your little clique and I have my little clique and we all believe the same things. The problem is that God's bigger than we know. And so every time he reveals himself, it blows our boxes up. You know, the nature of God's word is that it expands. When he spoke the universe into being, it hasn't stopped expanding. Right? So if this is the eternal word of God, it's living and active, that means that literally the initiation of what he said, it had meaning, but it continues to expand in its meaning. It continues to grow in its implications. And what he did at one point, he's doing again, but it's not the stopping of that. He doesn't stop with that. It continues on. The very nature of the word of God is that it is progressive. Right? Some of you are like, well, that's a dangerous position, Pastor Jamie. That means that you're never going to be sure if you're fully accurate and fully whatever. Well, can I just tell you that there has never been a point in history where anybody has been fully right about who God is, except for Jesus. Think about how much you know about God. Let's just imagine a container about how much you know about God. How big is your container? Okay, let's just do it. Barrel sizes, all right? Are you like this? What's your barrel size? Okay, this is our first activation because some of you are like this and you need to uncross those arms. I'm not intimidated. Actually, I take my glasses off so I don't have to look at your faces. So I'm actually kidding. But if you're mad, I don't know. I can just keep smiling at you. You know, it is a benefit of... How big is your container? How big is your God? Right? Okay, how much do you actually know about how big your God is? Because the reality is that how much you've experienced, how much you've actually come to know about God is probably this big. In comparison to the infinite, in comparison to the one who's so big. You know, it's saying about Jesus, who was the exact representation of the Father, if we would have wrote down everything that he said and did, it would have taken the sky as a scroll and the oceans as ink, and it still wouldn't be able. The world could not contain. It's so much bigger, so much more to know about who he is, so much more. Are you with me here? So when we come to know him in a way, You need to understand that it's just the beginning. It's the entrance point. You don't know everything about what he told you. You know one thing about what he told you. It's a little bit like narrow is the way into the kingdom. Like Jesus, he goes, hey, narrow's the gate. Okay, what happens on the other side of that gate? It expands big time. Once, yeah, narrow is the way. There is only one way in. Yes, but once you're in, do you know how much more there is on the other side of that little gate? Whoo, the infinite. So when the Lord speaks to us and we are holding on to what we think we know as if it's all there is to know, what ends up happening is you actually end up restricting and keeping yourself from coming to know him more. Are you? Oh, man. It's going to be a good time this morning. Let me just say one more thing before I get going. This right here, this is the Word of God. I believe everything in here, from the index to the book of maps, it's true. It has been backed up historically. It's accurate in every way. There's the fullness of who he is, though, cannot be contained within the leather bindings of your Bible. Everything in here is absolutely true, and what I've found personally in my own experience with him is that he doesn't violate himself. What he has revealed stays true about him. But what I have found in my own journey is that he also, though, doesn't mind violating my understanding of what I think. So while this is absolutely true, I've come to understand that, oh, I don't actually understand even everything that's in this. And so my invitation to you this morning is simply this, not to take your brain out and put it in a jar somewhere. Please don't do that. That would be gross. What my invitation to you is actually turn it on, because it needs to work. And you need to expand and grow in your knowledge of who he is, not think you got it all. And then now you're just looking for people to agree with what you think about who he is. It's not how it works. The invitation is in the increase. And so would you just do me a favor? Do yourself a favor too. Just put your hand on your own heart this morning. I want to pray for you. Because God, I know that your desire for people is that they would know you more, that we would know the fullness of your ways, God, that our lives would express the full nature of who you are, Father, your love, your greatness, how good you are, that you want to put yourself on display through us. And Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would touch our hearts and our minds, you would awaken us. Lord, that we would come to truly know you, that the spirit of revelation would awaken our hearts and minds, that the spirit of wisdom would equip our hands, that we could do the very works of God. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I bless this time and declare that it'll be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 13, you ready? This is Matthew 13, starting in verse 10. This is Jesus speaking. He said, the disciples came up to him and said, why do you speak to the people in parables? Here's the disciples. They come up to Jesus and they go, why are you talking to them in riddles? A parable, these stories that Jesus was telling them, thousands of people would gather around Jesus. He would stand up and he would tell them a little story. But the story wasn't connected to any concrete, like, truths. He didn't explain the stories to people. So he would just tell these stories, and there wasn't any, like, way for the people to use a metaphor and understand something. And so the disciples came up to him and go, hey, you know, when we get away from the crowds, you explain these things to us. But when we're standing amongst thousands of people, why are you talking to them only in riddles? Now, the answer might surprise you. You know, if you read ahead, you're going to hear it. But I just want to say it for you, because to sum all that he says up, basically it's this. I talk to them in riddles so they don't understand. I talk to them in riddles so they won't understand. Does that bother anybody else? That when you heard Jesus preached, you walked away with more questions than answers? That he didn't try to explain everything? That he just left things mysteries for people? Why would Jesus talk? Why would he teach? He is the personification of wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. He is the exact representation of the Father. He is what the scriptures have foretold and the fullness of God dwelling in bodily form. He is our chance to understand God. Like to see him, to taste him, to touch him, to get near him. But when he opens his mouth, you don't understand. That to me, I'm like, that, wow. Look at the verse 10. The disciples came and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus said, "To you," speaking to the disciples, "to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." To them it has been granted to understand and know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest of the people, it wasn't granted. That should drive you crazy, by the way. Verse 12, and then he explains it. "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, so that he has an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." This is backwards to me. It's also backwards to the very nature of a nonprofit organization, because the nature of a nonprofit organization is that you go and you look for like needs, right? So Compassion International or, you know, World Vision, whatever. We go into an area, we look for people who need, who have not, so that we can give to them, right? Isn't that the nature of a charitable heart? Look at what Jesus does. Jesus goes in and he goes, you don't have? Well, I'm going to talk to you in riddles because I'm trying to keep you from having. But to those who have, I'm going to bring increase. So much so that you get an abundance. Talk about the backwards, inside-out, non-democratic, non-nonprofit organization way of leading. This offends me. Does it offend you? It does. It offends me because that's not the nice, cuddly Jesus that I come to think about. You know, the nature of this, the nature of the kingdom, is that once you have breakthrough in the kingdom, once you are in, it is ever expanding, and God is going to continue to blow on that and add to it until you have so much abundance. Like abundance, not just enough to get by, but he is going to blow on, he's going to increase, he is going to add value, he's going to add more information and more revelation until your little breakthrough, whatever it was, becomes a storehouse of abundance in that area. Yet, if you don't have breakthrough, the initiation into breakthrough is that you got to start someplace. But if you don't start someplace, you're never going to get it. You know, I could be offended at this until you think it really through and you go, oh, you know what? At the end of every life, you're going to be judged for what you heard, for what you've come to know. At the end of every life, you're going to be held accountable for what you have come to know. And the nature of the kingdom is that it actually has to be acted upon. It has to be consumed. It has to become you. The word has to become flesh. So if you only ever add to your understanding, add revelation, but it never actually flushes out in your life, This is going to be a big problem in the end. So the very mercy of God keeps you from coming to know and understand stuff if he sees that your heart is hardened and you're not going to do anything with it. It's actually merciful. Let's keep reading here. I speak to them in parables because while seeing, they do not see, while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You keep on hearing, but you don't understand. You keep on seeing, but you don't perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, they would hear with their ears, they would understand with their hearts, and they would repent, and I would heal them." This is an amazing statement. He's basically saying, hey, if you get an introduction to the kingdom, all the breakthrough is going to come. If you get a way in, you're in. If you come to understand something, if you apply it, if you get instructions, your heart gets wrapped around it. You repent concerning that. Guess what the next step is? He will heal you. He will make wholeness out of the area of deficiency. So he's talking to the people of Israel and he's going, hey, I'm talking to them in parables so they don't understand because they're not willing. They're not able to accept that he is the Messiah. Yet the disciples have come to know this is the Messiah. And so to them, it's been granted the right because the entrance is through the person of Jesus Christ. And once you get in and once you get your foothold in the kingdom, once the door is open, now all of a sudden there is opportunity for ever increasing abundance in knowing him, in experiencing him, even in provision in this lifetime. The fullness of everything that God has provided for us was it was taken care of in the cross. It has all become yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen means so be it unto me. Look at this again, just real quick. The pattern that I see here, and if you're taking notes, this is probably the five things you want to write down, but it's basically this. They lost their hearing. They don't understand. They have stopped perceiving. Their hearts have become hard. And because of this, the only way back out is the opposite direction. Now you need to see, you got to perceive. Now you need to hear, you got to get instruction. Now you need to understand so that your heart begins to soften. And once your heart softens, now you need to repent. And once you change your mind, then he heals you. This is the way to bring increase in any area of revelation, bring increase or breakthrough. And the things we're going to go after today is we're going to go after these three areas like Dave expressed earlier. We're going to go after heart conditions. We're going to go after the ability to understand what God's asking of you so that you can begin to apply it. And we're going to go after perceiving, hearing what he is saying. Because it is possible to put yourself in a state where you no longer are willing to hear. You're no longer willing to open your heart and be softened towards stuff. And you're no longer willing to change your actions, even as a believer. You ever had that experience? Anybody alive this morning? Come on, you ever had this experience? Okay, I'm going to tell you my sad, sad story about me cheering for the Vikings. Ready? And I'm going to get a sozo this morning. You guys are going to perform a sozo on me. I'm going to get delivered, get healed up here. Yes. I'm 10 years old, right? And I'm sitting on the couch with my father. We're watching Vikings games every Sunday afternoon, right? And my memories of the Vikings games are we're up, we're winning, we're doing great. We go into prevent defense. Oh no, they're scoring. We lose. Bad calls. Oh, look at that heartbreak. Yeah. Bud Grant, all the way, you know, through the Denny Green days. Anybody love the Denny Green days? No, you're bitter about the Denny Green days. So then I'm in Korea. I'm stationed in South Korea. I think it was 3 in the morning. I stayed up for the NFC Championship game. You remember this game? Everyone remembers this game. I'm the only Viking fan. Okay? I got a dorm full. We all got up in the middle of the night to watch the thing live, right? You don't want to hear the report the next day. And so we got to work in a couple hours, but we're up 3 a.m., right? And that we're crowded around a tube television because flat screens didn't exist back then and, you know, whatever. And it's junk picture. It's like a 14-inch screen, you know. We got 30 guys in one dorm room jammed around this thing. And I'm sitting prime time right there. I'm rooting hard the whole time, right? And then we come to the last, the famous, the infamous kick. And the whole room is screaming, go left, swing left, you know, miss left, right? And I'm going, no way he's missing this. Kicks up. Oh, no. My childhood is flashing before my eyes. Hope deferred at this point has made my heart sick, and now I am hardened, and to this degree, okay, I don't care about your future as a Viking, because I know the history, and history repeats itself. Here's the deal, okay, obviously this is funny, whatever, my wife and I are actually Vikings fans, we're not anti-Viking, we just love the Packers, so... So here's the deal, okay? When you hear something from the Lord and you get excited about it and you soften your heart for it and you begin to hope into it and you put yourself in this position on a regular basis, if for some reason there's delay in response or something opposite of what you hoped for happens or even something negative happens, what begins to happen is pain, disappointment. And what I've found, at least in my own life, I can speak for myself, is that now when I go to sit to watch a Vikings game, I'm a cynic from the beginning. I'm a cynic from the beginning. I'm already doubting before I get into the process. And you know what? That's what happens to our hearts if hope gets deferred over and over. Is that now you get a word from the Lord and God talks to you about something, now you begin to be a critical thinker instead of a hopeful child. You begin to weigh through the cost analysis to see, well, you know what, if I begin to hope in this again and I open my heart to this and I allow this to come in, what is going to happen? Right? And so from the beginning, I begin to limit my involvement, limit my connections so that I can limit the backlash and the pain eventually. And I end up actually shutting my heart and hardening my heart towards something that God wants to do in my life. But it doesn't stop there. It moves forward. Right now, next thing you know is that your understanding begins to be affected. See, with a hardened heart, now when the seed of the Lord comes by, the parable of the seed and the sower says demons are now involved. They come to steal the word. If you got a hardened heart, and that word's just sitting there, next thing you know, you're being stolen from. You got spiritual activity around you. Now, when you go to, you perceived the word, it came, you heard it. But now, when you go to understand it, you're finding that your ears are having a hard time hearing the instruction and understanding what he's saying because you have a doubting heart and you've got spiritual warfare going around what he spoke to you about. You know, that doesn't take very much longer until you begin to shut your eyes to even perceive at all. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to hear. I begin to despise prophecy, just like Paul wrote about. I begin to despise it. I don't want to hear what the Lord is saying anymore. I would much rather live in the comfortable situation that I've created with my own lists of doctrines and my do's and don'ts, and I've just created a comfortable situation for me where I don't have to take risk and I don't have to step out of my box and I can be okay. In the meantime, you don't understand that the very value, the kingdom, that all of that God meant for your life is being slowly stripped from you. Seen that story, talked to people over and over through this same situation, over and over and over. It happens. You come and you sit across from me, and You list out all the things that you planned and you hoped for it to happen, and then what ended up happening, and it all started with, I thought God said. And in the midst of, I thought God said, we go ahead and we make plans according to what we think God said. And then when the plans start to turn or don't go the way that we thought they were going to go, this whole realm of warfare begins to come around our thoughts and our hopes and our desires, our expectations. And we end up in a place closing down, shutting off, hardening our hearts so that we can protect. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Do you know how many times I've heard someone prophesy revival? Revival is coming. Revival is coming. You know how many times I've heard that prophesied? I don't have that many fingers and toes. Does the kingdom come with outward appearance or does it start from inside? Is it with careful observing? In other words, do you have to do external things to cause God to come? Careful observance? Is it the external choices that you make that causes God to come? Or does the kingdom within you? And this is something that I want to speak into so strongly this morning. It's that God's in you. He's in you. And there will be a movement of God when you get moving. We're waiting for the external with careful observing, hoping that our prayer meetings are going to cause God to do something. No, that's not how it works. That's not how the kingdom works. Can God do that stuff? Sure. But you know what? Every historical revival started with people doing stuff. Everyone. You could get disappointed because it's not coming the way that you thought it was going to come. Although, let me tell you, she's here, she's growing. There's some really good stuff happening in our region right now. Or you could become a cynic. It's not the way it used to be. Well, that's probably a good thing. Seeing, this is revelation. You get revelation. Hearing, this is instruction. Out of that revelation, you see what needs to change. When you see what needs to change and understanding comes in, your heart starts to change. When your heart starts to change, you repent. You change the way you think about things. When you change the way you think about things, heaven invades earth. Okay, you ready for this? Verse 15, for the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. The heart of this people has become dull. Okay, prayer team, you ready for this? We're going to pray for two things, two groups of people today. One's with actual physical heart issues, circulatory issues, anything to do with the vessels and your vascular system and your heart system. Okay, so if you have any form of physical hindrance or need in the area of your physical heart, we're going to see God touch physical hearts today and bring healing, restoration. But as well as the physical side of things, we're also going to pray for the spiritual side of things. That is the dullness, the thickness, the hardenedness that our hearts become when we entertain the stuff that we were just talking about. You get pain in your life, you begin to harden yourself up. You don't really want to open that door to hope again. Those areas, we're going to pray for supernatural breakthrough in those areas of your life today. And so if you have found, and I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet right now. If you have a physical heart issue, why don't you go ahead and jump to your feet right now. Need miracle in your life. Need a miracle in your life. Physical heart issue. Or the second area now is the spiritual side of things. You know, I've gotten hard-hearted in an area of my life and I need breakthrough. I want breakthrough. I want my heart to be softened. Yeah, I'm in here. Come on. I need breakthrough in a physical heart issue as well. So soften hearts. Okay, if you're sitting down, that must mean you got it and we want what you got. Okay, so what I need you to do, prayer team, you guys are the ones sitting right now. I need you to aim your hands at these guys. And if you're standing, you're probably standing around a group of people. Would you just put a hand on someone that's near you? We're going to agree this morning. Come on, you're going to have to go probably a front to back as well, because there's some of you that are in rows alone there. Just make sure you're looking around. Cheryl and Mike, if you guys would turn around and get this guy right here too. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So Lord, right now, we just thank you that Jesus, that you paid the full price on the cross, that the full resurrection power of God that raised you from the dead is towards us who believe. And so this morning, as a family, we just declare over each person who is standing, wholeness and health in their physical frame. Just go ahead and pray right now for physical breakthrough first. Go for it. Physical breakthrough. Physical breakthrough. Wholeness and health. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Vessels being opened, widened in Jesus' name. Irregular heartbeats being resolved in Jesus' name. Nerve problems done in Jesus' name. We just speak right now to the valve system in hearts, that if there is bicuspid valves or single valves, that they'd be made into the perfect thing that is supposed to be there. We just declare right now in Jesus' name, wholeness to those bodies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now let's go after the spiritual side of things, the emotional side of things. Just speak right now. Softening of their heart, their spiritual heart. A softening. We speak a softening. Lord, we just speak to the doors of hearts right now that they would begin to open. That they would not be like Pharaoh who hardened his heart, but they would be, Lord God, those who would soften their heart and open the door. That you are standing at the door of our hearts, Lord, that you are knocking, and that if we'll open the door, you will come into that area of our life. We just speak that right now, softening, supernatural softening right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, come on, can we give the Lord a clap? And if you can make your way to your seat if you can. If God's ministering to you, you can stay where you're at. You don't need to. Feel free. You can do what you got to do here. Okay. The second area we're just going to go after right now is the hearing ear. It's what it looks like is you have first of all, the physical, any hearing loss. And this is actually where we had breakthrough. We had quite a bit of breakthrough last night, hearing being restored for people. But the physical loss of hearing, the miraculous, where you need the Lord to actually put something back in that's been taken out, the restoration of the nerves, the, you know, whatever's going on, the physical loss of hearing. And it doesn't matter if it's because of age. You know, we're just talking about, hey, the Lord will touch you and restore you. So if that's you, would you just jump to your feet? You got hearing loss of some sort, and you need the Lord to touch you. Yeah, come on. All right, let's go after this first, and then we're going to go after something after that, because I think pretty much everyone is going to stand for the next thing. So, all right, church, would you just extend your hands towards these guys? And you who are standing, just put your hands on your own ears right now. If we were in the jungle or if we were in the bush with Heidi Baker, she would lick her fingers and shove them in your ears. I'm probably not going to do that for you. But if you are courageous and you want someone to give you a wet willy, you go for it. So, ha, ha, ha. Okay, church, I want you to command that these ears be opened. Just go for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, the ears be opened. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The nerve endings would be restored. What is impossible is not impossible with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now the second part of this one that we're going to pray for people is understanding what he is trying to tell you. It's not just hearing his words, because I'm telling you, you'll learn to recognize when he's speaking, but then what do I do with that? Okay, this is where wisdom comes in, and there is an impartation in this house for that. And so if you're asking for an understanding ear, to be able to understand what he's trying to tell you, if that's you, would you just jump to your feet? We're going to pray for an impartation here. Okay. This is a heart issue as well as, you know, a hearing issue. This isn't just about perceiving. This is about coming to understand his ways. And so, Father, we just come before you. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus, that would be given this morning. Lord, I just declare that a spirit of wisdom, Lord, that a marked increase in wisdom, God, I declare that impartation right now. I declare that impartation over those who are hearing, and whether they're present or it's on a podcast, it doesn't matter. We declare the impartation right now for the spirit of wisdom, the anointing that allows, that gift, that ministry gift that allows you to know, to perceive and understand what he is saying. To be able to interpret, to have instruction, seep into your heart, to know what to do. God, we just declare that be released right now over each person. Thank you, Lord. 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 Okay, if you receive it, say amen.
Amen.
So be it unto them, Lord. All right, go ahead and grab a seat. How are you doing? Can we do one more? When our heart becomes hardened and we become dull of hearing, pretty soon it begins to feel pointless to hear something new from God. If what he spoke to me last time, you know, even though there's a burst of life on it, if it doesn't actually bring life change, this is where we become cynical. You know, this is where we begin to judge words, not from a positive standpoint of like judging to see if it was from God or not, but we just begin to almost resist, you know, and this is the picture of someone closing their eyes, and it's intentional. It's where you once perceived you could hear God's voice, because all sheep can hear his voice. Okay, is there any sheep in the room today? If he is your shepherd, then he says, you hear my voice. But if this whole process has kind of taken root, then to awaken your eyes to see, to perceive again, this is going to require intentionality. You know, if you've become cynical or your heart's gotten hard, now obviously we're praying for these things, and I know a supernatural thing's happening this morning, but you got to position yourself like Habakkuk on the rampart to look to see what he would say to you. Like, you have to intentionally choose to begin to look, to perceive, to begin to position your life with that, not just a desire, oh God, I hope, but like you're looking for what he's speaking through today. I have a friend who lives in Australia. He's a pastor there. He's a dear friend. His name's Dennis. And if you're listening, Dennis, hey, what's up, man? Good to see you. But I love his Facebook quotes because they're always these like 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, and it'll be 12:34. And that's what he'll put up on Facebook. And then it'll be like 4:44. Or 11:11. And what he is saying to the world is, God just talked to me through the clock. I know this is what he's saying. He's going, that means something to me. Do you know how childlike you have to be to look at the clock and go, it's 11:37. Must be Proverbs 11:37. Must be Matthew 11:37. It must be to be looking for God's voice in the clock. It requires childlikeness. It requires that innocence to re-enter back into you. To be driving down the street and have a license plate go by and it's from some other state and you're like, are you calling me, Lord? It requires intentionality. You got to awaken your heart to this again. You got to begin to look to see. This isn't about angels appearing to you. Like, great if that happens. Awesome. You're sleeping at night and one strikes you on the side with a staff. And, but can I just tell you that those are not normally, you know, good scenarios? Like, hey, you're in prison. You're about to die, Peter. Get up. Like, okay, you're in trouble in the first place. You know, or you got to flee to Egypt. Awesome. Don't wait for the external like that, where it's going to come with thunder and lightning. Become innocent again and begin to hear your Father's voice everywhere. All of creation has his voice in it. It all started with his voice. It all ends with his voice. Like, it's there. Now, for the sake of criticism, we're not talking New Age. We're not talking about, well, God is in the tree. Well, in a way, he is in the tree. It's his voice that made it, but the tree isn't God. Are you with me here? Okay. So if you want to go hug a tree, you do it, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. His voice, however, resounds in creation. He's revealed his nature. He's revealing things. And if you would just become childlike again to look to perceive, you'll start to see and hear him again. But you got to open your eyes. Okay. This one we're going to break into three groups just because I'm looking at all the glasses in the room. The first group is you need a miracle in your eyes because like of a disease or something happened, a bacteria set in, a brokenness, you got poked in the eye, something physical has happened to where we're not just talking about the slow loss of sight over time. I'm talking about something happened and you need a miracle in your eyes. You're born blind, something blindness in your eyes, something like that. We want to go ahead and pray for you and see breakthrough there. So if that's you, would you just jump to your feet right now? Okay. Father, we just thank you. Lord, you are the God who gave eyes to see. Eyes are for seeing. You gave us two of them, Lord. You want us to see. To see in 3D, to see, Lord, in full color. Is there someone here who's colorblind? Who is that? If you're colorblind, just wave at me right now. Someone else? I don't want to miss. Colorblindness. Okay, Lord, right now, we just declare right now that the vibrancy of life would be able to be seen, that their eyes would be restored fully. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for those who have suffered injury, God, we just speak right now the restoration from those injuries right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who have had some form of bacteria or some form of disease has set in, we command in Jesus' name these eyes to be restored and that to be rebuked right now in Jesus' name. What the enemy meant to steal, we just declare right now that the mercy of God comes right now and releases mercy at the cellular level. Thank you, Jesus. From diabetes and from things like that where blood vessels have even burst in eyes and there's tons and tons of floaties. Lord, we just speak right now that the lenses would be cleared up now in Jesus' name. That miracle would happen. The lenses would be cleaned up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Okay, now, and the rest of us, you have some sort of just sight loss just because of time or whatever you work. You guys can keep standing. Don't worry. You're going to just keep getting double doses. So if you want sight restored, we're going to pray for that this morning as well. Yep. Okay. Lord, we thank you that you make all things new. You make all things new. And so, Lord, we just thank you for restored sight. Restored sight. Father, would you just delight today in restoring sight? You gave sight to the blind. You restore what's been lost. You give eyes to see, Lord. We pray, Lord God, this morning that there would be marked change in people's eyesight. Father, I just pray today that there would be marked change. Just declare today that if you're standing here today, that you will have marked change in your vision. In the name of Jesus, we just declare that you will have marked change in your vision. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. 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 Now, church, with the rest of you guys, just jump to your feet. We're going to close with this last time of prayer. And that is that there would be an increase in hearing the word of the Lord. That you would have a marked increase in hearing God's voice. Does anybody else want that? Okay. So God, we just come before you as your children this morning. Lord, knowing that you are our shepherd, that we are your sheep, that you love to speak to us, God. And so, Lord, I thank you that this church is a perceiving church. That this church hears the word of the Lord. That this people is a perceiving people. God, that it would be said that there would be a day when non-believers and people who are ungifted would walk in those doors and this whole church would be perceiving what you're saying about people, that the prophetic word of the Lord would increase in great measures in this place, Lord God. Father, I thank you this is a perceiving church, that everywhere we go, we expect to hear from you, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And Lord, so we just pray right now that you would increase the dreams, that you would increase visions of the night, Lord God. You would increase the ability to see in the spirit. You would increase, Lord, as we pray to be able to know, Father, to discern. God, every gift of the spirit would be increased, Lord. We thank you for this, Father. We thank you for this, Lord. Now, Lord, I bless your people this morning. Lord, I declare the divine mercy of God over you. He paid for the sins of the world, and we just declare over you this morning, be forgiven, be released. We declare the mercy of God like a blanket over your life this morning. Just receive it. Just receive it. Mercy of God. We do not retain your sins. We just release mercy over you, fresh mercy, to the cellular level that your body would be renewed, that the effects of sin and brokenness in the world would be broken off of your body. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, I bless your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the light of his countenance be lifted up upon you. May his favor be upon your life. Lift you up. God, in the shalom, the peace of God, would guard our hearts and minds, our ways, that we would live within the kingdom and the rule and reign of the Prince of Peace. God, we declare these things this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone that came into agreement with these things said,
come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord?